You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, we started a series last Wednesday night on the baptism with the Holy Ghost and gifts of the Spirit. And so we're just going to go through the Scripture and, you know, and take it apart and see what the Holy Ghost has for us. Praise God. You know, we are a Holy Ghost church. We are a baptized in the Holy Ghost, gifts of the Spirit church. And, of course, we are a Word church. We're just a church. The church does all those things. And the early church was not a, you know, the early church wasn't a Pentecost church, a Baptist church, a Methodist church. There was no such distinction. It was just the church. And the church should be whatever the Bible says it is. Amen. And we as Christians should believe the whole Bible and preach the whole Bible, teach the whole Bible, live the whole Bible, and do as best we can to be as close as we can to the Scripture concerning church, church services, and the way we worship God. And so this is not an indictment on other churches. It's not fodder to, or you know, ammunition to go blast other churches. We are pro-church. We thank God for all the denominations that preach Jesus as Lord and Savior. Are you with me? But having said that, I also realize that when you read through the Bible, you find things like tongues, healings, miracles, signs, wonders, gifts of the Spirit. You even have instruction on how they should operate in a church in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. You have a distinction of what they are in 1 Corinthians 12. You have the book of Acts where time and time again people were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. You have Jesus saying in Mark, the 16th chapter, that believers, these signs would follow those who believe in my name. They would cast out devils. They would speak with new tongues. And, of course, they said, take up serpents, meaning the power of the enemy, and it shall not hurt them. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That was meaning poison. That's a good promise concerning poison. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And that's just the church. He was just talking to the church. And when he started his ministry, I mean, he started right out casting out devils and raising the dead and healing the sick. And he picked his 12 out, the 12 apostles, sent them out to heal the sick and raise the dead and told them, to preach the kingdom of God has come near you. Then he picked out 70 more and sent them out and gave them the power to heal the sick. And, you know, oh, come on, man. You can't take miracles and healings out of the gospel. You can't take it out of the early church. You can't take it out of Jesus' ministry. So these things should be part and parcel, as they say, of what we preach and teach. We know that Jesus, in his ministry, in Matthew 4, verse 23, it says he went about their villages preaching in their villages, teaching in their synagogues, and healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people. So you could break it down to preaching, teaching, and healing. That actually is repeated in Matthew 9, verse 35. He says the very same thing. It says he went to their villages, preaching in their villages, teaching in their synagogues, and healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people. So about a third of Jesus' ministry from just those two verses would have been miracles, signs, wonders, healings. And this is the thing that we see with early church. In the book of Acts. Acts 1. I'm going to quickly review some verses because we didn't finish this last week. Everybody say quickly. Quickly. Now, I just said we believe in miracles, so you've got to hang with me on this. Acts 1 is where Jesus really was getting them ready for the fulfillment of something that had been said about him in Matthew and Mark and Luke and in John. And we went over that last week, how that all four Gospels tell us John was saying this, John the Baptist. He said, I truly baptize with water, but you should be baptized. He that comes after me is not, who I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes. He that comes after me is preferred before me. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now think about it. He said, I truly baptize with water, but he that comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke, and it's also in John. All four Gospels tell us that. And that gives us some insight. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. I think you can be too smart to get this, but you can't be too dumb to get it. John baptized with what?
Water.
Jesus baptizes with what? Holy Ghost. That's real simple. When the Bible talks about water, it usually uses the word called water. And when the Bible talks about the Holy Ghost, it usually uses the word called Holy Ghost. And when it talks about the body of Christ or in Christ, it uses the word Christ. This is deep, isn't it? So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It didn't say if any man be in water, he's a new creature. Anybody be in the Holy Ghost, he's a new creature. There's only one baptism that saves you. That's when you're baptized into the body of Christ, not into water and not into the Holy Ghost. And we are all by one Spirit baptized into the body of Christ. Y'all catch that? So the Spirit is doing the baptizing there, and He's using us, using the body of Christ, or Jesus, and He's baptizing us into the body of Christ. Everybody that's saved has had an experience with the Holy Spirit. You can't be saved unless you've had an experience with the Holy Spirit. But everybody hasn't been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And those words mean something. To be baptized by something is not the same thing as being baptized with something. John baptized with what? If you were baptized with water by John, who would you be baptized by?
John.
But you'd be baptized with what?
Water.
Okay, so you can't mix that up. Are you with me? Baptized by John with water. Baptized by the Spirit with Christ. That's what saves us. And every one of us has been drawn by the Spirit. The Spirit has taken us and placed us into the body of Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. To as many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Not water, not baptized into the Holy Ghost, but baptized by the Holy Ghost. You know, use that example of three buckets, which I bears repeating. If you had three buckets up here and one of them had water in it, one of them had Jesus in it, if you could imagine, and one of them had the Holy Spirit in it. And behind each bucket, there was a man standing behind the water bucket because man baptizes you in the water. That obviously couldn't save you. Are you with me? Because that's what man does. And then behind the bucket with Jesus in it is the Holy Spirit. This is what saves you, because once you become a part of the body of Christ and you're in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says we are all by one Spirit baptized into the body of Christ. But then there's this other bucket over here that's got the Holy Spirit in it, and Jesus is standing behind it. And John said, I truly baptize with water, but he that comes after me is preferred before me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Woohoo! And this is not to save us, incidentally. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit is to empower us. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit is so He can carry on these miracles, signs, and wonders, just like Jesus started His ministry when the Holy Spirit came on Him. And the wording generally is, come upon or fall upon. He descended like a dove upon Jesus. Notice what Jesus said in Acts 1, quickly, because I'm reviewing very quickly here. Acts 1 verse 4, Jesus being assembled together with them. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You have heard of me. You have heard of me, is what Jesus is saying. What did they hear of? What had they heard of Him? That He would baptize them with the Holy Spirit. Now I submit to you, this is not the birth of the church. And this is what you hear over and over. You read it in commentary after commentary. But the Bible doesn't say they were born again in Acts 2. They were born again before Acts 2. All the requirements to be saved had been met. Any scripture you want to find concerning being saved comes down to believing Jesus was raised from the dead. You believe on Him and you confess Him with your mouth. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Isn't that what it says? Well, do you think they didn't believe He's raised from the dead? They're looking at Him. Tomb's empty. Thomas said, my Lord and my God, when He appeared to Thomas before He sent the Holy Spirit. Well, what were they waiting around for? To be saved? No, He never said that. He said, you wait around till you be endued with power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. He didn't say, wait around till you be saved, wait around till you become a Christian. No, they were Christians in the purest sense of the word. Jesus had already paid the price. He already laid His blood on the altar. He'd already raised from the dead. The tomb was already empty. They already believed it. Woo! And He said this, the promise of the Father was not salvation. The promise of the Father was the Holy Ghost. What we call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God's gift to sinners is eternal life. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. But God's promise, the Father's promise to His children, is the Holy Ghost coming on us. That's what Jesus defined this experience as. And it says this, for John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority or own hand, but you shall receive power not salvation, not your sins will be forgiven, not you will be washed clean, not you will become a Christian, not you will be saved. He says you will see power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, not be Christians now, not be born again now, but you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. See, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is about power to be a witness. It's about power to do supernatural things, healings, miracles, signs, wonders. Jesus didn't want them to run out without the power. He didn't want a powerless church. He wanted a church that had miracles, signs, and wonders, that prayed for the sick, where people could get help physically, because that's what he did when he walked the earth. Are you with me? Woo! And you know the story. Acts 2 is where the Spirit of God came down, filled all the house where they were sitting, 120 strong, in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit came down. Let's read that in Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, Pentecost was just a feast. It was 50 days after Passover, and so they waited 50 days. Now get this, 50 days, 40 days he was seen of them, 10 days they were in the upper room, that's 50 days. Pentecost means 50, that's what it means. So when the 50th day was fully come, you know, I've heard it said this way, that people that call themselves Pentecostal, they're just saying they're 50-ish. I understand, you know, what we mean when we say that. We're identifying with the charismata, the gift of the Spirit. But really, I mean, the day of Pentecost was a feast. It was 50 days after Passover. It said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all one accord, one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, just like you are sitting here tonight. They weren't standing up, they were sitting down. It's not the position of your body, it's the position of your heart. And they'd been praying for 10 days and ministering to the Lord, and they were sitting, and the Holy Spirit came in like a rushing mighty wind. Then there appeared, third verse, to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Man, I mean, the rushing mighty wind came in and sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, I think this is interesting. I can bring this out and not belabor it, but I do want to make a point of this. That this really is the only time in all the instances where they were filled with the Holy Spirit that it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, in all the other instances, it says He came on them, He fell on them. Even Jesus said, in talking about this, He said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Isn't that interesting? Because the Holy Spirit can fill you, and you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and do all kinds of things, and it happens over and over and over. But the Holy Spirit came upon you. That was an experience when you were what we call filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, or baptized with the Holy Ghost. Later it says Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke the Word of God in boldness. It also said those, that was the fourth chapter, when he went back to his people and preached to them, ministered to them because he'd been abducted, they all prayed and says the whole place was filled. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with boldness. Now, that's not the same experience that happened here in Acts 2. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came on them. Acts 10, it says it fell upon them. In Acts 19, it says it fell on them. In Acts 8, it says it fell on them. And Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And even in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit came on someone, it was for service, it was for ministry, it was for power. It came on them to minister. The Holy Spirit is on us to minister, no question about it. And the baptism with the Holy Ghost is defined as falling on us or coming on us. Woo! I love it. And in those cases, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, they spoke with tongues. They didn't speak with tongues, have a discerning spirit, have a gift of faith, have a gift of miracles. See, the gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and 10, they're given as the Spirit wills. There's a lot of confusion, even amongst Pentecostals or charismatics, or even us. Sometimes you talk to people and they'll say, well, you know, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, but I don't have that gift of tongues. Well, it's not the gift of tongues. When you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, that's not the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is followed with an interpretation in ministry, in a service, and it's defined very distinctly in Acts 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. But in this case, there's not a bunch of gifts distributed when they were filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized with the Holy Ghost in Acts 2. There weren't several gifts distributed in Acts 10 and Acts 19 nor in Acts 8. What happened was they all spoke with tongues. All of them, not one spoke in tongues. One had a gift of healing. One prophesied. Are you with me? There was some prophesying going on, but there wasn't a distribution of gifts. So when you hear someone say, well, I believe in all that, and people are well-meaning, don't get me wrong. People love God, and we're not being critical. We're just saying we have to be scriptural. But I've talked to a lot of people that says, well, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but I just don't believe I have that gift, tongues, meaning they don't speak in tongues. But being baptized with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in tongues, is not the gift of tongues. Because it's not to one, to another, it's to everyone who gets it. Everyone who's baptized with the Holy Ghost in the Scripture spoke with tongues. Hello, can you see the difference? The Bible says that the gifts are divided severally to every man as the Spirit wills. To one is given the word of wisdom, to one is given the word of knowledge, to one is given the gift of discerning spirit, to another is given the gift of faith, to another is given the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, to another is given the gift of tongues, to another the gift of interpretation, to another gift of prophecy, but that's just severally as the Spirit wills, and that's in ministry, like in a church when someone has something. Are you with me? But it doesn't say here they were all filled with the Holy Spirit until one was given the gift of word of knowledge, another's gift. No, it says they all spoke with tongues. So that cannot be the gift. Yeah. Woo! That's a revelation. I'll get a hold of that. That'll help you, especially when you're ministering to someone. That, no. Because you don't let them get away from you. They need to go ahead and get it. Because I've seen people just talk themselves right out of it and love God and just think, well, you know, it's just not my gift. But no, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for everybody. And it is evidenced by speaking with other tongues. It says they all spoke with tongues, every one of them. Now, turn to Acts 10. Acts 10. Peter ministered to a bunch of Gentiles. Cornelius was the man's name. Cornelius, a centurion, an Italian. And, of course, he had a vision, and you know the story. We won't go over that in great detail. We taught on that last week. But Peter showed up and he began to preach to them that Jesus, you know, was the Messiah, the one prophesied to come. And that famous verse, you know, Acts 10:38, where he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He began to preach to them, and as he preached, it says here in the 44th verse, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all. Everybody say fell upon. Okay. Fell upon all those who heard the word. Now see, that's really more indicative, more descriptive, and more in context with what happens when someone's baptized with the Holy Ghost. We often talk about them being filled with the Holy Spirit, but actually they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now granted, it does say filled in Acts 2, but it's the only place it says that. Jesus doesn't even use that term. He says, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Yeah. Now, I'm not, you know, being picky here. It's just what Scripture says. It's interesting that Peter, when he talks about this experience, because he had to go give account to these Jews, you know, that had gotten saved. They couldn't believe he went and preached to these Gentiles in Acts 10. And then, my Lord, they wind up getting saved, and they also got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. Now, we got to do something about this. You're over here preaching these Gentiles. So Peter had to give account to Jerusalem, to all those Jews there, to James and the apostles. What in the world are you going down to a Gentile's house and going there and preaching to them? And he explains to them what happened. In fact, let's go on here. It says in the 44th verse, while Peter was still speaking these words, he's still preaching to them, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision, the Jews, who believed, were astonished as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit, not the gift of tongues, the gift of what? The gift of what? Holy Spirit. See, often people say, well, you know, I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, but I didn't get that gift of tongues. Well, the gift is the Holy Ghost, not tongues. Tongues comes with it. Kind of like the shoe. Tongues comes with it. You don't buy the tongue, you buy the shoe. And the tongue comes with the shoe. So being baptized with the Holy Ghost is evidenced by speaking in other tongues. You don't get the gift of tongues when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. You get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Y'all see that? Evidence by speaking with other tongues. It says here, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out to the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues. They heard them speak with tongues, and it says, magnify God. And then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Whatever experience they just got was the same thing that Peter got. And they recognized it, all those with Peter recognized it as the same thing. So whatever happened over in Acts 2 is the same thing that happened in Acts 10. They all spoke with tongues. In fact, what convinced them, it says, for they heard them speak with tongues. How did they know? What convinced them? How did they know these Gentiles had been baptized with the Holy Ghost? What gave them that idea? For they heard them speak with tongues. And notice what it says. It says that while he was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In the 11th chapter, Bible drills, y'all still with me? Peter's giving this account, as I said. He had to give account of himself going to these Gentiles and preaching. And this is what he says. He said, I had a vision. God told me to go with them. I went with them, nothing doubting. 14th verse, 11th chapter. Who will tell you, go? Well, 15th verse. 14th, 11th chapter, 15th verse. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Everybody say fell upon. There's that word again. And see, the only time it ever says fill is Acts 2. Which is interesting. We always use that term. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? But that's really not what happened. The Holy Spirit fell on them, came on them. In fact, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit on occasion from time to time. The Holy Spirit rises up in me and the anointing gets on me real strong. I may not speak in tongues, but I started speaking in tongues when the Holy Spirit fell on me over 30 years ago. I don't have to wait now after the Holy Spirit has fallen upon me. I don't have to wait now for the Holy Spirit to fill me to speak with tongues. I've been able to speak with tongues ever since the Holy Spirit fell on me. Sometimes the Spirit of God rises up in me. I'm not speaking in tongues. It's something else. Boldness comes on me. That's fine too. But I was baptized with the Holy Spirit and I began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And I've had that ability ever since the Holy Spirit fell on me when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he says here, Peter talking about the same experience in Acts 10. He compares it to Acts 2. And he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. What happened in Acts 2? They spoke with tongues. What happened in Acts 10? They spoke with tongues. All of them. Y'all see that? Then I remembered the word of the Lord, 16th verse. He said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Ghost. So there's no question what that experience was, being baptized with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. And then he says, if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Well, obviously he couldn't. He had to go with it. Amen. Now, turn over to Acts 19. Acts 19 is where Paul runs across some disciples of John. If you can imagine, this is not 2010. This is way back when, okay? And so they didn't have internet, and they didn't have newspaper, and they didn't have, you know, Fox News and CNN. So in Acts 19, they had people still preaching John's gospel, the John the Baptist now. Didn't even know Jesus had come along. Didn't even know he was the Messiah. They're off in another place. This is Ephesus. And they're preaching John's gospel. Wow, that's just amazing. Not John, the book of John, but John the Baptist. They're still preaching people to repent and wait for the Messiah. He's coming and so on. Didn't even realize he'd already come. And Paul runs across these guys. 19th chapter, 1st verse. And it happened while Paulus was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? What an odd question to ask. I mean, wouldn't it be an odd question to ask if you got everything when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If you just got everything the moment you accepted and confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, why would Paul, of all people, who wrote 13 of the New Testament epistles, who gives us insight and revelation into the new birth and what it means to be saved, why would he ask, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Well, of course, you get everything when you believe. Well, evidently not. Jesus didn't want them to run off. He made them wait and tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. Paul's asking a valid question. He assumed they were Christians, and he wanted to know if they'd been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Had they received the Holy Spirit, which is separate from salvation? Y'all get it? Since you believed. Since you believed. He said, oh, no. You've got to be saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and then get water baptized. Or you got to get water baptized, and then as you're water baptized, you're saved. You're not saved till you're water baptized. Well, you know, God mixed all that up in Acts 10 because they got saved and they were speaking in tongues before they got water baptized. Hello. So it's a valid question, and they said this. This is interesting. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, to John's baptism. So now we realize, oh, wait a minute. Now, they're not even Christians. They're preaching John's, the Baptist gospel, which is before Christ. Now, think about this, too. Why would he ask this question? Then what were you baptized into? We have not even heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. Then what were you baptized into? Meaning that if you were baptized biblically, you would have heard of the Holy Spirit. Why would you have heard of the Holy Spirit if you were baptized biblically? Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that correct? So, you know, that's why we baptize people that way. People say, well, now in the Bible, the book of Acts, they baptize them in Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah, and Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Evidently, Paul thought that if you were baptized right, you would have heard the words Holy Spirit when you were baptized. They had not heard whether even be a Holy Spirit, and he said, what then were you baptized into? Now, I always baptize people this way. We'll say, on your profession of faith of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and this I do in the authority invested in Jesus' name. So you're totally covered. Works out pretty good, because people say, were you baptized in Jesus' name? You betcha. Yeah, but were you baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Yep, that too. They're covered when I baptize them, because people would strain a gnat and swallow a camel. Churches split over things like, are you baptized in Jesus' name, or are you baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Well, we just throw it all in there and just baptize you every way and get you all taken care of. You're wet, and you've heard the name Father, Son, Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Well, anyway, he asked this valid question. He said, what were you baptized? And they said, to John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Now he pins them. They're obviously not even saved yet. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now you believe they were saved by this point? At this point in time, they accepted what Paul said. He baptized them. Yeah. You believe they were saved? Yeah. All right, listen to this. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Woo! I don't think they got saved after they got baptized, do you? That would be kind of pointless, wouldn't it? They accepted what Paul said. They believed on the Lord Jesus. He baptized them. And then he laid hands on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And they did receive the Holy Spirit, and we know that because it says what? They spoke with tongues and prophesied, and the men were about 12 in all. Wow. Now see, even the wording again, the Holy Spirit, 6th verse, what does it say? Came upon them. Came upon them. That's what you see it over. That's the same thing Jesus said. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power. The Holy Spirit fell on them in Acts 10. The Holy Spirit came upon them as on us at the beginning, Acts 11. The Holy Spirit came on them in Acts 19. What he's talking about is a baptism, a pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon them. Not salvation, but a baptism of power, a baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. Now you might say, well, it doesn't say they spoke in tongues in Acts 8, but I would submit to you they did. Let's turn over there and we'll see that. Acts the 8th chapter. This is where Philip went to Samaria. This helping you? Okay. You know, you ought to take words apart. Words mean something. And you ought to take things in context. I've heard a lot of people try to make a doctrine out of one scripture. You can't do it. You need to let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. In fact, you know, we know we're saved because there's a lot of good scriptures on salvation. We know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost because there's just a lot of good scriptures on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In fact, we have not just the teaching of it, but we have narratives and examples of people who received it here. The book of Acts is filled with examples, not just the precept or principle, but examples of people having received it and exactly what took place and what they did. Man, I mean, you couldn't get any more descriptive than that. So it's a good, solid doctrine. Amen. Anything you've got several examples and several principles of, then you're on solid ground if you're, you know, these are out of the Scripture. A lot of people believe all kinds of things, but when you pin them and you try to get it down to where they get that from, they might have one Scripture out of context, or they might not have a Scripture. They just heard that in their church over and over and over. Don't submit yourself to my mercy as a pastor. You follow along in the Scripture. Don't be one of those that just parrot and repeat what I say as a minister. You parrot and repeat what the Scripture says. Know what you believe. Find it in the Scripture. Are you with me? Find Scripture on what you believe. Don't take it because you're Pentecostal, because you're full gospel, because you're Baptist, because you're Methodist, because you're Church of Christ, because you're Catholic, or right on down the list of things that we could go over. Take it because it's what God says. And thank God for your church, and by all means, thank God for me as your pastor, and pray for me. But don't blindly follow me. Follow me as I follow Christ. And especially when it comes down to Scripture and doctrine and what you're giving your life over to and your family over to, make sure you know where it is in the Word of God. You have responsibility. And I have an awesome responsibility to make sure that what I say is scriptural and that I lead you and guide you accurately and concisely, and I can back it up, and it's not just my upbringing or my tradition or my conviction even. I don't preach my convictions. Are you with me? I preach the Word. And hopefully my convictions line up with the Word, but there are some things I may feel strongly about. If I can't back it up, I don't need to be preaching it. If I can't lead you into the Word with it and show you where the Scripture says that. Are you with me? Okay, Acts 8. Notice what it says here. This is where Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ to them, the Bible says. And the 12th verse says, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, both men and women were baptized. Do you believe they were saved? They met the requirements. They believed what he said concerning Jesus and the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, and they were baptized. Wow. You believe they were saved? I don't know how in the world you can say they were saved. They met all the requirements. So I believe at this point these people were saved. Let me ask you another question. Do you believe that he baptized them in water? Well, I mean, it's a valid question. I'm coming to a point here. He did baptize them in water. I'm sure he baptized them in water. It says, when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. I don't think there's any question that they baptized. It doesn't say water there, but we know that's the way it went. I mean, someone got saved, and you took them and you baptized them in water. Even in this chapter, it goes on the end of the chapter, he met this eunuch, and he baptized him in water. And when they went down into the water, they came up out of the water. Would anybody disagree? I don't think anybody would disagree. I don't know any church or commentary would disagree that these men and women were baptized in water after they believed the message that Philip preached to them. You say, well, what's the big deal? Well, it'll be a big deal in a minute. Just stay with me. They believed. They were saved. They were baptized. And we assume they're baptized in water. Now, why would we assume they were baptized in water? Because that's what the Scripture teaches, right? In case after case after case, we know that's what they did. We know that's the pattern. They took them into water and they baptized them. So we assume that's what... It just said they baptized them, and we assume they baptized in water because that's what the rest of the Scripture says. Let's go a little further. 14th verse. Now when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, obviously they were saved, they received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Whoa, wait a minute, come on, man, I thought you got everything when you accepted Jesus. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? That's what Paul asked. And here it says they heard the preaching, believed it, and were baptized. And yet, they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. Not this baptism with the Holy Ghost that Jesus wanted them to wait and tarry in Jerusalem for. Woo! I don't know about you, this excites me. Let's go a little further. When they received the Word of God, they sent them, Peter and John, to them, 15th verse, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had... What? Fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. There again, I would submit, they, you know, took them down, baptized them in water, and they said, you know, baptize in the name of Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now you might say, well, it doesn't say they spoke in tongues. Oh, but let's go a little further. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Of course, they got on his case about it. They said he was, you know, corrupt and about asking for this. And he repented, and of course, God forgave him. But let me ask you a question. If they laid hands on these Samaritans and the Holy Spirit came on them like it says they did, and Simon's sitting over here, and he sees that by the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit came on them. What did he see that made him think that something happened? Now, we can speculate. We can make up all kinds of stuff. Or we could go back and look at all the other instances where they were filled with the Holy Ghost and ask ourselves what happened when they were filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts 2. Hey, what happened when they were filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts 10? Hey, what happened when they were filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts 19? Can anybody tell me? They spoke in tongues. So what did Simon see? Now, you can make up anything you want to. You can speculate, or you can go back to Acts 2, and you can go back to Acts 10, you can go back to, and I start going in tongues, even saying this. You can go back to Acts 19, and in every single case, they all spoke in tongues. Wouldn't it be kind of smart to say, well, he probably spoke in tongues? Wouldn't you think that's what they did? Or you can make up something. They did something else, but the Scripture tells us, in all those other instances, they spoke in tongues. And I would go back to this baptism thing. How do you know they were water baptized? Because it doesn't say they were water baptized. It just says they baptized them. Well, now you know they're baptized in water. Well, how do you know that? Because that's what they did in all the other cases. So if we're going to say, and you're pretty confident that when it says they baptized them, but they baptized in water, you're probably pretty confident that's what they did. I wouldn't think there'd be any question about that. Of course they baptized them in water. He doesn't say that, but it says they baptized them, and I assume they baptized them in water because they didn't baptize them in anything else. They didn't baptize them in mud in that special case. Well, in Samaria, they baptized them in carpet. They actually baptized them in Starbucks coffee. That's what I think they did. Because it doesn't say water. Yeah, but we know it was water because it was in every other case. Well, that same logic... Are you with me? That same logic would demand that we would say they spoke in tongues. And Simon saw that, and when he saw it, he offered them money that when he laid hands on them, are you with me? That he had had this gift to convey or bestow this power upon them. Which in every other case that we have detail of, and there's three pretty strong ones, Acts 2, Acts 10, and Acts 19, they all spoke with tongues. That's why I have no... As sure as I can say the baptism in water, I can say emphatically they spoke in tongues. Or else you've got to answer the question, what did they do that got Simon all excited that he's fixing to dish out some greenbacks? They obviously didn't just stand there and say, I receive it, and walk off. Something happened. The power of God came on them. And as on them at the beginning, Acts 2, they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with tongues. Acts 10, they spoke with other tongues. Acts 19, they spoke with other tongues. And I submit to you, they spoke with other tongues in Acts 8. Only thing that makes any sense. The only thing that will fit the Scripture. It's the only thing that will fit the context. So, this baptism with the Holy Spirit, okay? This Holy Spirit falling on us. Now, we're not talking about being filled with the Spirit, although we use that term a lot. And it is used one time in Acts 2. But that's really not descriptive of what the Scripture says over and over. And even Jesus Himself didn't say that. Jesus said, come upon you. Acts 10, Acts 19, and Acts 8, it came upon them. So that would be the question. You've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're going to heaven. You're washed in the blood. There's no other way to get there except through Jesus' shed blood. He paid the price. But have you been endued with power? Has the Holy Ghost come upon you since you believed? Have you been baptized with... Has He been poured out on you with the evidence of speaking with other tongues? If not, you need to get that experience. Not to be saved, but to be endued with power. Not to be saved, but to be a witness. Hallelujah. Not to just witness in the sense of telling people about Jesus, but to be a witness, to lay hands on the sick. Think about Mark 16 chapter. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Now there again, I want to throw something else out here. He didn't say, some of you will speak in tongues. Some of you will cast out devil. Some of you will lay hands on sick. No, it says you all do it. Because you know we all lay hands on the sick. James 5:15 says, 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. We all pray for each other to be healed. That's not a gift. Now, there's the gift of healing, yes, but what Jesus was saying in Mark 16 was for everybody. And when He said they'll speak with tongues, that was for everybody. Potentially, every Christian that's born again should be. They're not going to be. I understand that. And there's some good, fine people that live their whole life and love God and go into heaven, and we're for them and we're for churches. Stay with me. We're not being critical. We're just taking the Scripture as is. Jesus did not want them to run off without this experience. And so potentially it's for every Christian. It's not the gift of tongues mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 8, 9, 10th verses and defined in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The gift of tongues is not what happened in Acts 2. It's not what happened in Acts 10 or 19 or 8. What happened there was the Holy Ghost fell on them, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and they all spoke with tongues. Woo! Happened to me some 35 years ago. 35 years ago, Brent and I were in a Kenneth Hagin meeting in Lakewood Church, Houston, Texas, November, Thanksgiving convention of November. And Kenneth Hagin gave that invitation for salvation. I was saved, had been saved about 6 months. Then he gave an invitation for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that was exactly what I've been looking for. I've been reading that in Mark the 16th chapter, didn't know what that was. First time I had gone to Lakewood Church, first time I had been in a church like that. And boy, when he gave that invitation, I went, that's it. That's what I need. I'm saved, I'm washed in the blood, but I don't have that experience, that Acts 2 experience. And man, I was down there like that. In fact, somebody asked me 6 months before that, I'd have got it. But nobody asked me that. I was asking people about it. I asked my denominational preacher, my pastor, that I joined that church and let him baptize me. I asked him about it, asked him what he thought about it. He didn't believe in it. I said, well, I do. And I wasn't mad. I wasn't arguing with him either. I said, I do. I believe it. I believe it because it's in there. He tried to talk me out of it. He said he could explain it to me. He'd get the Greek and he'd get history. He tried to get me to come in his office. I said, no, I don't want you to talk me out of it. I said, I don't need to be talked out of it. I have made a decision. I'm going to believe everything in here. And I can't pick and choose. Please don't. No, don't even talk. Don't try to talk me out of it. It's in there. I'm not making this up. I didn't know what I got a hold of in that church we started going to. I didn't have a clue. I remember he told me when I did get filled with the Holy Spirit, and that he said, in fact, we went there just a few more services and I just couldn't stay. You know, I went in and talked to him. I set up a meeting and did it right. Don't ever leave a church without talking to the pastor. You owe it to him to do that. And so I called him up, and I knew it was going to be like a SmackDown wrestling match. I knew it was going to be tough. And he was a Greek scholar, and I was 19 years old. But I owed it to him as my pastor, tell him why I was leaving. And so I went in, and I sat down with him, and I explained to him in love. I'd prayed for a week. God, let me love him. I don't want to argue with him about this. I just want to tell him what happened to me and why I've got to go. And so I sat down with him, and I explained it to him, and he got mad. He was so hot. And I never raised my voice. I said, you know, I just want you to know I love you. And he says, you are going to ruin your testimony. Oh, man, he laid it low. He just told me I was just on the road to hell and everything, you know, for doing this. And I said, no, I don't think so. And I said, I think I'm doing the right thing. He said, I can explain to you from the Greek and from history, and I can explain to you. I said, no, I don't want you to do that because, see, it says it right there, and I believe that. Those people don't care about souls over at that church. He started talking about the church, Lakewood Church. You know? And I said, you know what? I've seen more people saved in 1 week there than in 6 months I've come to this church. I said, I'm not being critical of you. I'm just telling you. Oh, well, they say they're saved. And I said, well, that's all we can go by anyway. People say they're saved. But I mean, I tell you, the Holy Ghost came on me. And I was just as sweet to that guy and as nice to that guy. And I didn't get mad. And that wasn't like me because I would have normally got real upset. But I had prayed all week. And I mean, we didn't part on great terms. I did, but he didn't. He was he had veins popping up in his... I am not exaggerating. He was so mad at me for getting the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And I'd been down, we witnessed every Tuesday night, we went down to every time the door opened in that church, we were part of that church, we just, you know, but I tell you, they weren't Holy Ghost, and I didn't know any better, and when I finally got it, ooh, hallelujah. It's like I've been born again. Because I'd been seeing all that, I'd been seeing it on every page, and I never heard any preaching on it. I never saw it, nobody ever prayed for anybody. If they did, they died, you know. I mean, you just didn't have any testimonies of anything ever happening, you know? You know, in our church every week, we hear a testimony of somebody getting healed, somebody getting set free. Are you with me? Last Wednesday night, Marcus, you know, the Holy Ghost fell on him, man. He started speaking in tongues. I mean, you know, you're going to see these things happen if they're real and you believe them. But I never saw anything like that. Never.
Glory be to God.
So, anyway, praise God. I am glad I got a hold of it. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I love Jesus. I was a witness for Jesus for 6 months. When I got saved, I witnessed to a telephone pole. I witnessed to all my friends. I read my Bible every day. I was saved and I was going to heaven, but I was not filled with the Holy Ghost. And I did not speak with other tongues until I got this experience. And it literally changed my life. Of course, my life was changed when I got saved. I came out of drugs and jails and was born again. But it took me to another level when I got baptized with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, the Word began to come alive to me. I began to understand the Scripture. Pages just started leaping at me. I mean, I've started seeing truth I never saw before. I started understanding. It started making sense to me. And then, of course, we started seeing miracles and people getting saved and healed and set free. So it is an endowment of power, is what it is.